Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. This is part one of three of the October edition of the Talking Metal Live Show, which is a three-hour show. We're going to break it down for you hour by hour. So again, part one right now. Then the next podcast will be part two, the following part three. We have Militia from Judas Priestess on this one with us. She actually joins us for the second hour too, again, which is the next episode. And also in this episode, B.B. Buell. Not exactly metal, but a lot of great rock talk from B.B. Buell. So if you're into the rock and roll stuff, definitely stay tuned for a good chat with the one and only B.B. Buell.
Hi, this is B.B. Buell, and you're listening to Talking Metal with cool. The mother of rock and roll.
Hi, this is Jimmy Walls, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool.
Calling all outcasts, misfits, and degenerates. This is Talking Metal Live on tonight's show. B.B. Buell from High Spirits, Chris Black. And later, the Space Ace himself, Ace Frehley. Plus, in-studio guest, the diva of Metal Militia. I'm Bud Friendly. Here's your host, Mark Striegel, without John Astronomy.
Hey, guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We have Militia in the studio. How are you, Militia?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We also have B.B. Buell coming up in just a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Later on in the evening, Ace Frehley will be calling in. Chris Black, as Bud Friendly mentioned, from a great band out of Chicago called High Spirits. So please stay tuned for those. Militia, thanks so much for coming in and hanging with us tonight. We want to get into some of your music, but real quick, Judas Priest is still going strong?
Oh, yeah, unbelievably strong. We're coming up on our two-year anniversary on November 13th. So actually, the band was conceived on Friday the 13th, November 2 years ago. So we're coming up on a pretty awesome anniversary. We're going to have a little party and fan appreciation celebration down at Duff's Brooklyn, which I'm sure you know very well. And
yes.
So that'll be November 13th.
Ooh, excellent. Excellent. And Swear on Your Life, what's going on with them?
Well, Swear on Your Life took a bit of a hiatus just because you know how the whole band thing goes down, and you know you have some guys that do all the work and some guys that don't do all the work. And I was like, you know what, this is my band. I'm cleaning house, starting fresh. Me and my bass player Shane Bullos, we just played the OMAs, and we brought guys in, hired guns to play guitar and play drums. And we played the OMAs, which are the Out Music Awards. It was a tribute to Melissa Etheridge. She won a Lifetime Achievement Award, and for some reason they asked me to play in honor of her.
Cool.
So, well, yeah. So, but I want to play a song for you today called Heavy Head, which actually is on the Black Rock Coalition Reparations Volume 2 CD. And want to hear it. Here go.
Cool. We ready to go here, Judy? Okay, so we're going to play Heavy Head by Swear on Your Life by Militia, and then we'll be right back with the one and only B.B. Buell live in the studio here on Talking Metal.
Way, way down.
Welcome back to Talking Metal. What you just heard was Swear on Your Life. And that was the one and only Militia singing. Militia, do you play instrument too? Or
I do. I play. I'm a classically trained pianist since I was age 7. I used to do all those little like nerdy competitions, and I used to play in your mall and kind of stuff like that for years. And then I just kind of was like, I'm bored. I want to go play metal. So not exactly what my parents had in mind, but it's all good.
I gotcha.
I also kind of play some guitar, kind of suck on guitar. Gonna get better. I'm taking lessons.
Oh, there you go.
And play bass.
Cool. Well, we are honored because in the studio we have the one and only BB Buell. Thanks so much for joining us, BB.
I'm happy to be here. How you doing?
We are good, and we are excited about the new record, Hard Love. Let's talk about this. why now? Why after so many years? You've obviously done some recording in the past, but why?
Yeah, I've made a bunch of records. I put a record out 2 years ago called Sugar. Yeah, that E1, A to Z and E1 put out. And it just started the ball rolling again. I started playing live around the city. And Wendy Dio saw me play last October 26th at Bob Gruen's birthday bash at the Bar, and asked me if she could manage my career. And since she came into my life, it's just been like a roller coaster. It's just amazing. The next thing I knew, I was in the studio making a new album and starting to play again. And this record, though, is really the record I've wanted to make my entire career.
Okay.
I finally got the record I wanted, the sound I wanted. And Wendy let me do it on my own. She allowed me to pick my producers, my engineers, you know, everything. That is, she just gave me full reign. And I made the record that I've, you know, wanted to make since I was a little girl.
Cool. I mean, that was my next question, which it sounds like you've kind of answered. Did you know Wendy Dio from like back in the day? But
it sounds
like I thought maybe you were
really
old friends.
No, it's really interesting. It was Dean Schachtel from Niji, he was at Warner Brothers for 18 years, and then he was at Steve Vai's label, and he's been courting me for years, trying to sign me, but it was never the right situation, you know, and I was always an indie girl and sort of poo-pooed the majors.
Right.
So when he was at Warner's and he said, I want to sign you, I just laughed at him.
Wow.
I was a naughty girl. You know, I sort of poo-pooed the establishment on that in that context because, you know, I've always enjoyed sort of being a cult artist. And, you know, I've enjoyed you know, just doing this, the way I was doing it because,
right.
you know, I had my own little niche. But then with social networking, I started to find out that I had fans through Facebook and stuff. And I just didn't realize that I had that many. And so it sort of came as an awakening to me. And Wendy was like, wake up. I'm putting you in the studio now and you're going to work. And I was thrilled because that's exactly what I wanted.
And you did a lot of the songwriting on the record with co-songwriting.
With this guy right here. He co-produced the record, Jimmy Walls.
Jimmy.
And Frank Farrar even wrote one of the songs with us.
Frank from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Frank from Guns N' Roses. And a couple of songs were written with my ex-drummer, Bobby Ray, and we wrote a song with somebody named Sean St. Don. He and Sean wrote a song, Devil You Know, which is a lot of people's favorite song on the record. There's a few favorites. You know, people are liking Mother of Rock and Roll, too. That seems to be the anthem, you know, the one that people are responding to.
Yeah, I love that one. I also love Devil You Know, and that was actually one of my questions here. Where did that song come
from?
Isn't that
a riot that it was a quinky dink?
So, Jimmy, was that a song you wrote specifically for BB, or
no,
did you have a song?
He wrote this song back in 93. Am I talking? Am I hogging the mic? But he wrote it back in 93. I meant 2003, excuse me. Let's get our era straight. 2003, and I revisited it, you know, the song.
Right.
I just said to Jim, I said, you know, that song that you and Sean did, it was on a Vacation Land record. He used to be in a band called Vacation Land. And not a lot of people heard the song, so I sort of wanted to resurrect it. And I actually sung it for Wendy in her living room to a drum track.
Wow.
And she said, oh my God, that's going on the record. And she thought it was sort of a wonderful coincidence that we had this song, that it wasn't premeditated, that Ronnie also had.
The Heaven and Hell.
You know,
sure.
So, yeah, and we mixed it on his birthday. And it's just little strange synchronistic things that sort of made us feel real good about the way everything was happening in the studio. It was kind of wonderful. And so, you know, Wendy has just been very supportive. She loved the songs and she was very vocal about, you know, what she wants. She said, look, I want you to make a record that sounds like you do live. Like when I see you, when I saw the shows, what made me want to be your manager?
Right.
I want you to go in there and make me that. So we go, okay. We'll go make that soup for you, Wendy.
And was it your idea to bring Frank Frere into the fold, or Jimmy's
no,
idea?
Jim. Jim played with Frank.
Oh, cool. What band did you play in with Frank?
I was in a band called New United Monster Show, which was a band that played around the late 90s around the city, you know, CBGBs and Continental and that type
right,
of
sure.
thing. And we kind of needed a drummer at that point, so I called up Frank, and luckily he was on hiatus from GNR, and he came in and killed it.
Excellent.
Can I just interject
oh,
here?
Oh, yeah, please.
I have a big, soft place in my heart for Frank Ferrer. I used to play with him, too, years ago. I put together a group called Anarchists of Color, and it was all, like, the awesomest brown-skinned players I've ever met. And he wasn't in GNR yet, and he was just, like, He made toothpicks out of those drumsticks. It was unbelievable. So the fact that he wrote on your record, that is awesome.
Oh, he and Jim and a guy named John Robinson wrote one of the songs called Got It All Wrong. But when I heard it, I just wanted to completely rewrite the lyrics because I just thought that the hook and the music was amazing. But I felt that the lyrics needed, you know, my touch, you know,
right.
So I took them and I rewrote them. So I sort of, I claimed that one too, because that was another song that had been laying around that I felt didn't get the attention that it deserved. Mm-hmm. So I drug that one out of his little writing
bolt or
chest or whatever
gotcha.
You call it.
Yeah. Now, Wendy Dio. And of course, I think the album says, Ronnie gave you spiritual inspiration, and you just mentioned that, I think, before.
Yeah, because I didn't know Ronnie.
That was my question.
You know, I didn't know Ronnie. I didn't know any of these people. And just the way it all happened, the way they came into my life was kind of, it's very special. It's interesting. And you know, when you don't think about things and when you don't plot and when you don't scheme and when you don't go after something and it just happens organically, that's really the stuff you got to pay attention to.
Sure.
And she was up at some TJ Martell event and she noticed that some people were leaving, you know, leaving the party. And Dean just said, where's everybody going? And they said, oh, we're going downtown because B.B. Buell's getting ready to play at Bob Gruen's birthday party.
Right.
And she's dressed as a devil. You know, and it's like,
awesome.
So, and when he goes, dressed as a devil, what do you mean? You know, and I've never dressed as a devil in my life. Right. It was just something to celebrate Halloween. And so they became very curious. And so Dean said, we've got to go. Wendy, please, I've been trying to sign her for a while. Please come down and let's take a look. Maybe she'll be right for Niji.
Right.
Well, it went a step further. You know, after she saw the band, she decided that not only was it right for Niji, but that she wanted to manage me, that she wanted to take me sort of under her wing. And then it was just woo from there. The next thing I knew, I was in LA. I was presenting an award at the Polestar Awards and getting all new pictures taken, you know, all the new pictures. And you guys, if I get a little woozy, that's because I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah. Nothing, well, thank you so much for making the trip in.
Nothing that
here
you would catch because right. it was a stomach virus. So I suffered for 24 hours and I'm getting my strength back, but good. I'm a little, I notice I keep going, it's not drugs. I promise.
Now you've obviously,
it's DayQuil.
been a part of the rock and roll scene for quite some time now. And you've probably seen it evolve and go through different stages and phases. Where do you think rock is heading at this stage?
Well, in my world, it's heading, you know, to the place of purity and passion.
Right.
That's what everybody keeps saying to me collectively about my album is, it's so passionate. You know, I feel that you really mean it. You know, okay, those are all the things I want to hear because that's the truth. You know, it's just a throwdown. You know, it's sort of me just owning it, just going, look, okay, I'm not 15, kids. You know, I've been playing music for over 30 years. I've put out enough indie records to start my own record store and all kinds of little crazy cassettes and this and that, you know, all the little collectible new ha-ha, you know, and this is the record that I made as truly my introduction into this is the first record I've ever had in Best Buy.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and, you know, this is the first time, I've gotten this much attention for a record, and it's kind of thrilling, and I enjoy it. And I love it. And I figure I raised my daughter, you know, I'm married to another fellow gypsy. So if I could spend the rest of my life being a gypsy and touring and being a, you know, a nutcase on stage, yes, give it, bring it.
I mean, so are there tours in plan?
Yeah, well, that's what that's
right.
Wendy's. Yes, Wendy is. All of this is being, you know, I've got some stuff coming up. You know, I'm doing this thing that we were discussing, Militia, for Don Hill, a tribute to his life, which will be at Irving Plaza on December the 15th. And then in January, I'm doing a residency at the New Cutting Room.
Oh, okay, cool.
And, you know, I'll be playing like 3 Wednesdays, and then I'm saving the final one for Valentine's Day because I'm giving Wendy that time to plot the next. She wants me to go over to Germany and Argentina and the UK because those are the next territories that the CD's coming out in physical form.
Okay.
So it's available everywhere digitally, but right now it's just CDs in this country and Canada, but it's starting to expand as the demand comes in. And the pre-sales and the pre-orders on the record were really good. So, hey, go figure. I'm just enjoying this. I figure I've worked really hard. And my fans are the ones that are making this happen. You know, Wendy's just giving me the vehicle to be able to be people to be able to go buy my stuff now instead of having to, you know, take a tank down to the middle of Mississippi somewhere to some old mom and pop store, you know, which is still the coolest in the world. You know, I want to be in those stores, but I want people to be able to hear my stuff now. You know, I'm at a point where, you know, I want to tour. So in order to tour, you have to have a larger, you know, What's the thing they say? You have to turn your fan base into a
fan to consumer conversion.
Yeah, consumer conversion.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever. I'd give it all away if I could, I swear to God. But unfortunately, that doesn't get you on the road. I mean, the road costs money. And, You know, the way Wendy's plotting my whole touring schedule, I'll probably be doing it for the next couple of years pretty solid.
Wow. And it's awesome. You seem very excited by what you're doing, which is great to see and hear.
I love what I do. You owe it to your fans. You know, you really can't do this unless you want to do it.
Very true. You know? Now let's talk about some of the most exciting live acts you've ever seen. You've obviously seen a lot of groups through your time. What bands really stand out as some of the best live performances?
Well, some of the greatest shows I ever saw got early Alice Cooper, the Stooges, of course, the MC5. You know, just seeing the MC5, that was like truly scary. If anybody says that, you know, the Sex Pistols are punk rock, no, they're not. Yeah. Go see the MC5 in 1972, and you'll get a real education on what real punk rock is. I always like very dangerous music, and I was very inspired by Iggy Pop and Mick Jagger and certain vocalists and their style. And and some of the most exciting shows. Let's see. Let's get current. I love Living Things. I've seen a couple of great Living Things gigs.
I sang backup for them.
Yeah, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Oh, I've seen the White Stripes be brilliant. I've seen some great Jack White. I've seen Dead Weather be brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Dead Weather.
Dead Weather. Mm-hmm.
And there's something about Alison Mosshart. She's delicious, isn't she? She's just really good at what she does. And oh gosh, you know, it would be so impossible for me. You know, one regret, I've never seen Jimi Hendrix, but I've seen I've seen all the great, brilliant singer-songwriters and you know, Bowie, Springsteen, and I've seen Led Zeppelin, and I've been so fortunate. But I think probably the Dead Boys and the Ramones, those were thrilling live shows to see.
Yeah, sure.
You know, especially the Dead Boys. They were one of the most underrated bands ever, you know?
Definitely.
So, gosh.
Let's circle back to the CD. We mentioned, obviously, Jimmy and Frank, but who else is involved in playing on the CD with you?
Well, Pete Marshall, who played with Iggy Pop for 8 years on both bass and guitar. He played bass on the album, but now he's my second guitar player.
Okay.
And I got Enzo Pinizzotto in my band, who used to play with me in the late 90s and then ran off with Joan Jett. And now has come back to me from Joan Jett. So sounds like a love affair, but it's a bass affair.
It really is.
He heard my album and he decided he missed us and he wanted to play with us again. And we were thinking of moving Pete over to second guitar anyway, because we really want, you know, the live sound to be as big and fat as the record, you know. And so now Enzo's on bass.
Okay.
And Frank had to go off with Guns N' Roses, so we found this brilliant 28-year-old drummer. She used to play with Liz Zeppelin. Her name is Sarah Tomac.
I know her.
Oh my God, she is so good.
Yes, she is.
She is scary, charismatic, brilliant, stunning, and her energy is just wonderful to have around.
Cool.
And then I have Zach Lasher, another very young kid, on keyboards, and he used to be with this like jam band that everybody's into called You Melt. So you take all these different personalities and you toss it into the pie and you get the BB Buell band. And,
yeah, cool.
And I rip your face off. You know, we're pretty ferocious, and you know, I might have on a leopard dress right now, but I can still hurt you live.
Excellent.
And where did you and Jimmy meet? Where did you and Jimmy meet?
What?
Where did you and Jimmy meet?
Oh my God. Jim and I met about 12 years ago at a party at the Continental, and his band, New United Monster Show, who were really hot and just, and who was it that wanted to sign you, Geffen?
Yeah.
Yes. And everybody called them Nums. And my band that Enzo was in before he ran off with Joan. And and so we saw each other from across the room. It was just one of those things. You know, we met at work. We met at the office.
I love it.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. We met at the office, and then we just started seeing each other all the time.
Right.
And I remember I was telling my friend Hilly Crystal, who ran CB, Hilly. I was like, oh, my God, Hilly, I think I've met the greatest guy and blah, blah, blah. And he's going, oh, well, we'll see, you know. And so I'm at home, and he calls me up, and he goes, BB, you know that guy you like? You know that one in Numbs? You better get over here. He's here right now. And I lived on Mercer Street. I literally lived 10-minute walk from CBGB's.
Yeah.
He's here right now. He goes, get over here.
Wow. Look at Hilly being the matchmaker.
Yeah. Hilly was like, well, because he always thought that Jim was a really good guy and that I needed a good guy for a change.
Oh, so, that's such a good story.
So he kind of brought us together. And then we, you know, started to date. And so we've been doing that. But he had other bands and stuff. We didn't really start buckling under and playing together until around 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 2008.
And I saw a lot of familiar names in your special thanks list in the CD. And I just had to ask you about Jeff from Ultrasound.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have my own plaque in there for how many hours I've logged in that place.
Yeah.
Rehearsing.
I mean, he's been there for probably
since the
25
ice
years at this point. Yeah. Yeah. Great guy, though. And I was happy to see his name in there. Cool. Well, we'd love to play a track for the Talking Metal listeners. We'll play a couple tracks, actually. What do you want to start off with?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. What do you want to start off with? What do you like?
Well, I mentioned Devil You Know earlier, so maybe we'll start with that, and then we'll come back and wrap things up and
Is there a single, per se?
Yeah, well, Mother of Rock and Roll is going to be the single.
I'm kind of intrigued by Mother of Rock and Roll.
Okay. Well, let's start with that.
Female.
Then.
I'm into it.
Of rock and roll. You got it. Here it is. This is Mother of Rock and Roll. Go buy this CD or download on iTunes. And the album, the full album, is called Hard Love. And the packaging's great. A lot of people don't experience
Niji
packaging.
Is famous for their packaging. You see how they package things. I mean, Wendy, she wants her artist to look good. And she's really particular about the packaging. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really amazing to have a label that gives a hoopy doopy.
Yeah, it's a great looking. It's not only a great sounding CD, a great looking CD. And this is the Mother of Rock and Roll.
I am the mother of rock and roll.
You're listening to Talking Metal Live. And now, back to the fucking action.
We have BB Buell in the studio, a brand new record out called Hard Love. Be sure you guys support this. We're going to have, if you're listening to the podcast version of today's show, we're going to have links and notes up. Those links will take you right to iTunes where you can download this album. I suggest actually going out and buying the CD again for the great packaging.
I love it. So, all right, what I want to know, and what I'm sure all the listeners want to hear.
Here we go.
Baby, what is up with the raccoon story?
The Led Zeppelin raccoon story?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this story, it's one of those folklore stories. It gets, you know, the whispering down the lane. Every time it gets told seven different ways. But the real true story is I had a Kawadi Monday. And when I met Jimmy in L.A. and Todd abandoned me at the Hyatt House with this raccoon.
Hold on, wait, back up. What is a Kawadi Monday?
It's a South American raccoon.
Okay.
And it has a long nose. And Todd went to San Francisco and sort of left me in L.A. We had an argument with this creature. And, you know, Jimmy sort of rescued me. And we began dating. And we had been in L.A. for several days. He took me to the Swan Song Party. And it was time to go back to New York. And, you know, of course, I cried and blah, blah. You know, all the stuff little silly girls do. And he said, well, why don't you just fly back with us? And I said, but what about my raccoon? And he said, well, we'll take it with us. And so we get to the airport. And, of course, I didn't have any papers for this creature, you know, saying that it wasn't going to bite you and give you some crazy disease. And but it was fine. You know, it goes to the vet just like a cat or a dog. You know, it was fine, but I didn't have papers with me. So he literally just bought first class. They weren't even gonna let me take it on the plane or even they gave in and said, okay, you can put it under the plane with the dogs. And more freaking out. And so the next thing I knew, you know, he bought the whole first class, you know, so all the any empty seats. So the band and the raccoon and me, we had the whole plane. And I don't think I saw the stewardesses, but maybe twice, because they were in the bathroom the whole time with the band. You know, it was like,
oh my God.
That was the craziest 6 hours of my life. That was back when you could smoke cigarettes on planes.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, everything was just sort of anything goes. And
very different.
It
now.
Was very loose, you know. It was a lot.
I was born too late, I think.
There was a lot of drinking and craziness going on in there. Well, you know, it was funny because, you know, I just sort of watched in wonderment. And Jimmy, and you know, he sat with me most of the time. He was a little bit of a voyeur himself, too. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Let's just watch all the fun.
I love it. That's yeah. Great. What a story.
Yes. And we ate beautifully. Oh, God, they had, you know, that was when first class had. Well, I think you can still get caviar and all that kind of stuff on some flights. I think they still do it. But since 9/11, you know, it's not as fancy and not quite as luxurious and elegant. You know, I don't think you even get real silverware now, do you? I don't think it's.
I think you have to pay for everything extra.
It's all very strange. But you know, so I do remember it being like quite a dining experience and Jimmy giving the raccoon like all the fruit that it wanted.
Great.
I love it.
John Bonham trying to give it a whiskey. You sure you don't want a drink? You sure you don't need a little snoots now? Come on. I mean, I wanted to kill him trying to give that poor little raccoon alcohol.
When's the last time you heard from Jimmy Page?
Oh my God. I haven't seen Jimmy. Let's see. That's maybe it hasn't been that long. I think we ran into him.
Didn't he come to see you play?
Yes, he did. He did. And that was the time. I'd say maybe, when was that, like 98?
Okay.
Maybe 98.
Yeah, not that long ago. Right, yeah.
You know? I mean, we're not BFFs. I don't call him up with, hey, hi, how you doing, Silver Fox? You know, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I'm married and I'm busy, you know, but when I see him, it's very nice, you know, and I thought it was very amazing that he came to see me play. And I mean, I've looked out in my audience and seen all kinds of people that have shocked me to death.
Like who else?
Michael Stipe, you know, what?
Wow.
Who else? You know, I've been on stage and just, I've seen Kate Moss, you know, I see this writhing, this beautiful writhing creature, and I watching it writhe, and I was like, I get a little closer, and it's Katie Moss, and you know, just interesting people always come to see me play, and my crowd's very young. You know, I don't know what it is with what I'm doing musically, and 20-year-old, you know, the young girls, they're there. And that was what was so great about my show last week at Hero. You know, I keep telling people about my young girls. I call them BB's babies. And of course, Wendy's gone right to work making t-shirts now.
Oh.
The BB's babies.
That's brilliant.
And Dean's like, let's put two little nipples. I'm like, no, I think we're just fine with the BB babies, you know. So, you know, I try to explain it to people that there's really no demographic at one of my shows. You know, it's... I don't make music just for a certain age group. It's an all ages experience.
Sure.
And I try to explain that. And until you come and experience it, it's kind of hard to understand it. So I remember trying to explain it to our new publicist, Bianca, who's brilliant. And so finally after the show, she came up to me and she said, oh my God, you know, the girls, the kids. And I was like, I know.
She got
and,
it.
Yeah. And it, but it's kind of cool. You know, young girls, they want to hear rock music. So what direction do I think rock is going? You know, I think it's coming back. I think people just want to hear music that people make from their hearts with real instruments. You know, people hear people organically playing again. You know, I made a record with machines with Sugar a couple years ago. I did it because I needed to get into the studio and I was losing my mind. And if I didn't make a record soon, I would go crazy. Mm. So I said, Mr. Pro Tools is my friend right now. But if you have a chance to not do that,
right,
and really make a real record,
right,
with real, you know, musicians and real instruments and great equipment and vintage amps and
just personality. I mean, it's like just listening to that track right now, those drums, I you know, I know Frank and yeah, I'm like, that's Frank, you know, you hear his personality come
yeah,
through.
Yeah. And that's what's great about the combustion of people, the chemistry, you know, that I've, you know, I'm not going to say accidentally have come upon, but it sort of is kind of magical the way it's all unfolded. So I don't question it, but you know, and having Sarah, I can't, you know, if you come see us play in January. We know,
Sarah is the new drummer, right?
When you see this girl play, I mean, it's incredibly inspiring. I mean, I'm trying to inspire people from one end of the spectrum to the other. Look how young this girl is and look how she plays.
Yeah.
And look at me, you know, I'm the kid of the group, really. You know, it's kind of interesting. Ageism and sexism and all the isms and all the stuff that deter growth and deter people from really listening to what they want to listen to, that's my job to squash. You know, I'm here to stomp on.
I love that.
The cockroach of sexism.
Oh, I love that.
Very good.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you. My drag queens taught me well.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, your passion and excitement about what you're doing is contagious, and I think everybody has to go out and check this record out. Again, BB Buell, Hard Love, and thanks so much for coming by. We're going to play another song here.
Are we live?
We are live now, and this will actually go out in podcast form over iTunes in probably about a week or less,
uh-huh,
and that's where most of our listeners are, but we right, definitely have some people checking us out right now live.
Great.
On the stream. Yeah.
Hi.
So if we could get an ID from you saying your name and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is BB Buell, and you're listening to Talking Metal with the mother of rock and roll.
Excellent. And Jimmy, why don't we get one from you, too?
Hi, this is Jimmy Walls, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. Thanks so much, guys, for coming by Talking Metal, and this is The Devil You Know. Oh, before we let you go, website. Do you want to plug a website before
let's see. What are we? You know it. You tell.
Website is www.bbbuell.org.
.org. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter. Oh, I love my Twitters.
Do you know your Twitter name?
It's BB Buell Band.
Okay, great.
And it's a verified account, so it'll have that little blue check, so you'll be able to know it's me.
Excellent.
Because I think there's a couple of fakies on there, but the BB Buell Band, not the, just BB Buell Band is truly me.
Cool. We'll have those names and links up in the show notes for the podcast version on talkingmetal.com. Guys, this is Devil You Know.
You try.
That was Got It All Wrong by B.B. Buell and co-written by Frank Farrar, Woo-hoo. Who you actually played with, Militia, right?
Yes, I did. You know, just to be quite brutally out there, pretty much all the black rock and roll people know each other.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> Just from like being around, you know, and you're like the only one and then you see another only one and it's just kind of like, oh, hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're an only one too. And then, right. you know,
sure.
there you go. So, Frank used to play drums here and there for a night called Bitch. I can say Bitch.
Yeah. My wife actually used to occasionally sing
yes.
at that.
Yes. Well, that's how I met yeah. your wife.
Yeah.
Hello, Emily. Yes. So Bitch used to happen at Don Hills, Don R.I.P. It just used to be like a celebration of women coming out to do and perform metal songs, hard rock songs, whatever. Used to be on Wednesdays like once a month. And it was really like a New York City rock and roll experience.
Sure.
You know, like if you hung out in the scene, you were at Bitch on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And you got to see just like a slew of the most talented people
in
the
scene.
A lot
of great singers. I mean, I would go numerous times to that and just was blown away by the talent.
Sure, sure. And like, they used to talk about making documentaries about it, movies, whatever. It never happened, unfortunately. But all the girls
Steve
have a bond.
Blush. Was that the guy? Steve Blush
Steve
was
Steve Blush,
yeah.
yep, absolutely. Who did American Hardcore. And he's working on a new movie now, actually, which I don't have too much information about, but I'm sure if you go to his website, you can find it out. But anywho, so I met Frank Ferrer because he was hired to play drums in the Bitch band. And took mental note of him being awesome because he would play and the sticks would literally just shred and there would be a slew of splinters around the drum kit after he was done playing. It was just, it was obscene and phenomenal
he
and
hits
amazing.
So hard, you know, and it's just it's such a physical experience just watching him and listening to him.
Oh, yeah. That's why they call him the Thunder Chucker.
Yeah, that's right.
But I actually hired Frank to play in a show that I produced called Anarchists of Color. And I basically took all those, you know, only black person that used to hang out in this scene and that scene and put them all together on the same stage. So we did it actually in an off-Broadway theater called The Belt, which is no longer there. It was a side venue next to The Zipper, which was not too far from here, actually, right. where we are at Bionic. And the show was just phenomenal. We did it there. We did it at the Cutting Room and, you know, we sang songs and it was all like Prince, Seven Dust, Rage Against the Machine, Jimi Hendrix, Mother's Finest, like
Sounds
stuff
awesome.
That doesn't make sense to be in the same show, but it did for this purpose. Yeah. And, Felicia Collins, who's in the Letterman band was the guitar player. And, a couple other people that came in that were playing and it was such a unique experience. There's pictures and things on my Facebook and there's a website still.
Cool. And what, speaking of Facebook and the whole online thing, tell the Talking Metal listeners where they can get in touch with you online.
Find me on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/militiaismyname. You can also find me with Judas Priestess at facebook.com/JudasPriestessFans. And there's also a Facebook for Swear in Your Life. So facebook.com/SoilNYC.
Cool.
Oh, you know what was another thing I wanted to tell you about in relation to that?
Yes. I don't know, but
pretend you know. Okay. I'm actually doing some hosting work later tonight. So if anyone's listening live, I will be hosting the CMJ Afropunk Festival. That's going to be at Williamsburg Music Hall. I will be introducing some bands and the headlining band Death is going to be there. So I am so excited. I'm going to be announcing them tonight and
Death.
It's going to be killer.
Not.
Yes. Yes. The Death. Like that seminal black punk band. Yes.
Oh, but not Chuck Schuldiner's Death.
Oh, no.
I was going to say that would be tough considering Chuck's dead.
Yeah,
but,
no. This is the other Death. You know, the other Death.
Cool.
So the showcase tonight's called Death to Hip Hop, which is so clever. It's like Death and then like more of the hip hop-y Afropunk bands like Jersey Clan and Cerebral Ballsy, who's more like rap and punk. They've been getting a lot of attention on Cartoon Network.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They play their videos on Cartoon Network for Adult Swim and whatnot.
Okay.
So this is actually my second time doing an event with Afropunk. I was supposed to host the event that got
brutally rained out by Hurricane Irene, unfortunately, which was going to be a really big event with CeeLo Green headlining and blah, blah, blah. Hopefully next year we can get it together.
Cool. And you're very active on Twitter, I know, from being on Twitter. So definitely any of you guys, I know a lot of you Talking Metal people are on Twitter, so definitely check Militia out there.
Sure. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/militia is my name.
Now, how does that work? Do people like sync their Twitter and Facebook? Like
some
updates?
People do, but I think that's cheating.
Yeah,
so there's something like inorganic and impersonal about it to me, so I don't do that. All my stuff is live as I feel it, and believe me, my Twitter is not a diary.
Right.
You're not going to hear about what I ate for breakfast or anything crazy like that. You know, you're just going to hear about things that I think are interesting or important stuff that's worth sharing. Very it's good. Not like verbal diarrhea for me. Now so definitely add me because I think I post a lot of interesting things up there.
Cool. And you brought in some tracks to play. We're going to play one right now or very shortly, The Ripper by Judas Priest.
Yeah, I would love to hear a Judas Priest song right now.
Now, of course, Judas Priestess going strong. And this is a song I would imagine that's in the set, right?
Oh, sure. We play The Ripper. It's one of our favorites, our fans' favorites. Yes, I hit all the notes for you questioners out there. I wouldn't have gotten the job otherwise. But I also want to give a shout out to my girls that are listening. Hey, Judas Priestess, the coven of the Judas Priestesses. And this weekend we're going to be at the Hard Rock in Niagara Falls. So it's our first time to that area. We're playing the Pinktober event for breast cancer awareness.
Oh,
so that's
going to
be an awesome
great.
Cause. Very
now,
much so. We're also playing Endicott on Saturday at the Downtown Quarterback.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So Judas Priest recently in town, I saw them do a sound check up at the Jimmy Fallon show. And then you actually saw the actual performance.
Yes. Why did you leave?
Well, the sound check was at like 12 noon and I was able to sneak in there through a friend of mine and it was amazing. It was like me and Judas Priest and like four people standing there.
It.
So yeah. And, got to say hi to Rob and then actually had a long conversation with Glenn and he was telling me about him and Rob are doing all sorts of writing together.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, and there's going to be more, you know, this is the last tour, but it's not the end of Priest. And I wish I would have had the mic out because I was
sure.
like, this is a Talking Metal interview because it went on. He was like on a roll. I'd interviewed Glenn once before and it was before a Jones Beach concert, Heaven and Hell, Judas Priest's Jones Beach concert. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to realize that whenever I interview these people like seconds before they go on stage, they're grouchy and they don't want to do the interview.
Yeah, that is the worst time to interview an artist is before we go out. The
yeah.
worst because you're in the zone.
Yeah.
You're in the zone.
Yeah.
It's like a boxer like getting amped up. You're in
yeah.
the zone.
Yeah. And know? So I'm starting to think because it's funny, Biff, if you guys stay tuned, we're going to have a great interview with Biff from Saxon in an upcoming episode. And I met up with him at his hotel, you know, he was in town. It was an off day. This is like last week from the Saxon tour. And he was in such a good mood. And it was the same thing. Last time I interviewed Biff, it was 5 minutes before he went on stage. And I felt like, you know, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't.
So definitely.
And right after is not a good time either.
Right.
Yeah, because you just like given it and you're just kind of like need to collect yourself.
Yeah.
So anybody that's like a professional interviewer out there, those are the two no-no times.
There you go.
Unless you want to get decked.
Let's talk about Halford, though. It's just every time I see him, not every time, but most times I see him, I'm just continually blown away by this like 60-year-old man at this point. How amazing. I mean, he was so spot on hitting the notes.
Yes.
And seems to... Not always, but 95% of the time he seems to be that way, which is more than most singers I see in these concerts.
Well, and that's how why he's the metal god.
Yeah. How does he do that? Like, is it a natural talent coming from somebody who's a great singer? Is it a natural talent or do you think it's something that he developed over the years or?
It's all of those things. It's all of those things. I think he was naturally born with that talent. Also, there's something to be said for, where you grow up, the way you speak, the way you learn to speak, where it sits in your, it's the placement of it sits in your mouth and your resonance and everything. It's the whole instrument, just like a guitar. It's the whole body. So, I mean, literally the way he speaks is kind of forward and, you know, the focus of it is higher than I guess most people speak. I guess
through the years, you hear a lot of people who kind of speak like this.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think they were, like, great singers because they don't have the presence or the resonance that someone who speaks forward does. It's actually a lot of work to speak like this.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but some people just get used to it, and that's the way their instrument starts taking shape.
That's interesting. You know, yeah.
He speaks forward. And I find that, like, people from certain areas of the UK have that naturally. Or, like, just like how people from New York are very loud speakers.
Yeah.
Just because of your environment where you grow up. And all of that takes part in how your instrument's being created.
Let me ask you, before we get into the song, too, because the Ripper obviously is an older Judas Priest song. I feel that through the years, his voice, his singing style has either changed or his voice has changed. He's
both.
Still hitting all those notes. But when I listen to some of those older tracks, especially stuff off of like Hellbent for Leather, it sounds like he was singing deeper, like more in his mm-hmm. throat, as opposed to like maybe he was even singing incorrectly back then, but it's almost raw in some ways.
Sure.
Is that right?
There's a way to add, I call it colors. There's a way to add colors to your voice. Just like how you wouldn't talk to your wife the same way you talk to like one of your boys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different the way you color your words. It gives you a different energy to them.
I gotcha.
You know, so for Hellbent for Leather, I'm assuming because it's tougher, you know, it's like a more gruff kind of voice, which I mean, I use that same technique when I'm singing anything. I'm like, okay, what am I singing about? How do I describe it? Like, if someone couldn't speak English, would they be able to understand what I'm communicating? And you do by the colors mm-hmm. of the words. So every singer, they go through, you know, experimentation, you know, just like how a guitar player or a drummer can experience when learn different styles.
Right.
It's the same thing with vocals. Like, you're not just given one way of making sound.
Gotcha.
You have a bunch of different degrees of sound.
Cool. Very insightful. We're going to get into a song right now that you will hear in the set by Judas Priestess when you go check them out, which everybody should. Niagara Falls. I know we do have listeners in upstate New York and Canada, so definitely make the trip down to check out that show. Where is that show again?
It's going
to
be at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, cool.
At Niagara Falls on the USA side, not the Canada side. So Americans, you don't need your passports.
Right.
Canadians, you do.
Gotcha. This is The Ripper by Judas Priest.
You're in for surprise. You're in for a shock. In London town streets, when there's darkness and fire, when you least expect me, and you turn your back.